What a precious time this morning. When you fully surrender and you just let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart, and you give Him praise and worship, which we're going to be doing for an eternity. Could you feel, I could feel like the arrow is light. Yeah, the burden. He says, my burden is light. He gave so much, yet we give so little. We hold back. When He says, let go, surrender. Let me have my way in you. We fight it so often, and He can't accomplish His purpose when we fight it. I love you guys, and He loves you so much more. He has a work to do through you, in each and every one of you. He has a plan that He needs to accomplish. Do not waver. Be steadfast till the end. Our opening text again, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 through 58. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that the labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you for praise and worship this morning, that we're able to give you glory. Let your Holy Spirit flow through me today. Use my lips to speak. I know you have a plan. Help the hearts to receive, Father, on good, fertile ground, that we may be changed and push on. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to close out being steadfast till the end today. That doesn't mean that you stop being steadfast, though. And last week, we talked about holding fast to what is good. Holding fast to Christ, to your faith. And where we left off was, we're steadfast now in Christ. So does that mean we stand still? And I said, no, we press towards the goal and that high mark. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, we did touch this last week. It said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've forgotten those things that are behind me. I'm a new creation in Christ. Reaching forth, I think about my daughter when she's just right now, she gets on her tippy toes and she tries to reach for things. Reaching forth, that should give you a good word picture. She strives to get so far, and that's what we do. We just press forward to the Christ, the high calling. Old things are under the blood. And as I press forward, what God is saying is, you press forward, but you hold the ground that you've gained already. The enemy wants to take back, and you must persevere till the end. He wants to devour you. He wants to conquer you. You don't give up the ground you've gained. Don't look back. Keep your focus on Him. He accomplished it all. I said last week, if you move out on your own, you become a target. You can't make it on your own. The Holy Spirit makes you a majority. He is your equipper. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 through 33, it says, you shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you. That's why we sang that song. I picked these songs today because we're covering a lot of what we just sang. That it may be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. In Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, what he's talking about, if you think about when you drive down through Southern Illinois, you can see the farms. You ever notice how straight those fields are? The lines, the crops. So a farmer sets his mark, puts it at the end, and he focuses on that mark as he's tilling the land, as he's plowing to get a straight line. So he keeps forward on that mark, right? That high prize calling of Jesus Christ. If he looks to the left, if something catches him, what happens to his plow? It pulls left. If he looks to the right, the plow goes right. That straight line is now gone. He must keep his focus. Focus on the prize. That's what we must do. We must be immovable objects. Eyes focused always on him. The devil wants to distract you. He wants to distract you. He wants to take your eyes off him. Whatever he needs to do, whisper in your ear, get something across your eyes, let you hear something. Maybe it's bad news. Maybe it's fear. We're not a slave to fear. He wants to take your focus off him who accomplished it all. He is your focus. Stay on him. The eyes on the prize, right? The high calling of Christ Jesus. So that should give you a good idea. When you start to waver, say, am I looking left? Am I looking right? Am I missing the mark? Stop, reset, pray. Heavenly Father, I missed it. I missed it today. Help me to be better. Help me to be focused. Help me get right back onto you. Get back in the Word. This keeps your focus. Don't slumber. We're going to be going there in a minute. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And Paul says that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One spirit. You are one spirit. You are striving for the gospel is what it says. One mind striving for the faith of the gospel. I want the gospel to be my mark. My focus as the plowman. You cannot stand before God and say, I should have done more. When the time is up, it is up. You don't want to have blood on your hands. Let your conversation be of the gospel. There are lost and loved ones you have been put in charge of. A lot of this stuff is repetitive that we've been talking about, but it's important. That's how you are immovable objects. You have to constantly remind yourself, what did I do that I had eternal significance today? What did I do to benefit the kingdom of God? Did I benefit myself, or am I benefiting the kingdom of God? Did I seek his will and his way to share the love of Christ with those who don't know that love? It's a crazy world we live in. I've been seeing some of these Ray Comfort videos or Todd Friel videos where he's talking to kids on college campuses about Christ. And this postmodern view of the world is just, there's no truth in it. There's no truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. They just reject it completely. It's amazing how deceived we are as a people. And that's where Satan wants us. He wants us deceived. He started in the garden, and he's gone all the way up to this point. He just wants to deceive, deception. That's his main target. That's his main goal. Job in 17 verse 9 says, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. I just said I don't want to have blood on my hands. as you seek the gospel, as you read this gospel, as it becomes a part of you, it gets rooted in you, and it just oozes out of you. It oozes out of you to share. And I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go through the whole chapter. As we're talking about being steadfast, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. I remember Pastor Jeff, my dad, talking about now faith. Not yesterday's faith, not tomorrow's faith, now faith. Today's faith. Be in the moment. Don't be looking for tomorrow. Don't look back. Be in the moment. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For it by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I love this as he starts going through examples. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. How awesome. We sang, when I wake up in the land of glory, my story. We sang last week, Blessed Assurance, this is my story. Be thinking about that as we're going through these examples. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, we must have faith. Amen. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is not a prosperity verse. This isn't about accomplishing and getting material things here on this earth. We talked about the deception in the pulpit. It's not a prosperity message. It's not what could Christ do for me. It's what can I do for Christ? Because he already did everything for me at the cross. Amen. The reward is Christ. Eternal life in glory with him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hallelujah. Build an ark. The flood's going to come. You're an idiot, Noah. You're an idiot. Let's enjoy the times. Let's party. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He obeyed God. By faith, we don't know what his plan is, right? We sang that song today, all is well with my soul, he's God, he's in control. I don't know his plans, but I seek his will and his way. He will accomplish his plan if I seek him. By faith he sojourned the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. We have a promised land, and it is above. That's where we are citizens of. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of his kingdom. We are heirs to the throne of God by his grace, by his blood, which he purchased you. You are now his. Hallelujah. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. It was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Think about these stories. What testimonies. How awesome. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so as many as the stars of the sky and multitude as the sand which is by the sea shall shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having them seen them afar off, who persuaded them, embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims Amen. On earth. They didn't have Christ yet. They were looking forward to that promise of Christ. We have Christ. He paid the price. We know of this. We know Him. They didn't know Christ at the time. They just knew of the promise of Christ to come, the Messiah. Yet they were steadfast in their faith. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity of return. But now they desire a better country that is heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Hallelujah. He prepared a mansion on a hill in glory for you. For you. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up only his begotten son. Hallelujah of that story. That is a forecast of what God was going to do, except for He did not take Isaac. He provided a sacrifice in lieu of Isaac, only to show that I will give one more. I will one up you, Abraham. I will actually send my son for you and sacrifice him on a cross for you, for you, for your sin. Because He loves you. And He's desperate. He wants you to love Him back. Accounting that God was able to raise Him up even from the dead, from whence He also him received Him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, learning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. Moses probably could have been killed at that point. But God had an alternate plan. He said, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this man who stutters to set my people free. It wasn't because of Moses. It was what God did through Moses. That's what we got to understand. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to go through you. I'm sorry I'm all up in your face today. As we're closing this out, I had this urgency. I want to beat it in your head, beat it in your heart. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I love this verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We talked about in Peter's suffering. Choosing to suffer. And then we talked about in Acts when we read that, you know, they rejoiced in their suffering. They rejoiced in their suffering. How cool. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, hallelujah, than the treasures in Egypt. All the wealth that this world has to offer. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That thread is constant throughout. For he had respect on the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, going back in Acts, they were told not to preach in the temple. They did it anyways because they obeyed God. God broke down the prison doors. They went back to the temple because it didn't matter what they were told. They learned to obey God. And they rejoiced. Through faith he kept the Passover, hallelujah, the sprinkling of the blood. Again, another symbol. It's that thread, the scarlet thread throughout Old Testament, New Testament about Jesus Christ and what he was going to do. The Passover, that blood. You accepted Jesus Christ. You are now covered in his blood that when the time comes, judgment will pass over you.
lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to were drowned.
They saw the Red Sea part. They saw the Red Sea part, yet shortly after, they built a golden calf. They quickly forgot what all God had done for them. That's why you have to be steadfast till the end.
Amen.
It's a warning. There's warnings throughout.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days.
How does that make any sense? Our God confounds. What does the scripture say? He uses dumb things to confound the wise. Is that correct? Am I saying that right? Foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So instead of like a barrage of military to take down it, he said, no, you're going to march around. He gave orders. And then he took down the walls of Jericho by that. Gideon, right? His mighty men of valor is 300 men taking on the Amalekites, the Hittites, and the children of the valley, I believe it is. Hittites, maybe it is.
By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness made strong. When we are weak, he is strong. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight with armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hallelujah. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Listen to this. These are examples of people who gave their life, faith, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Again, this is all about the promise of what to come, of the Messiah. Being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And here it is. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't get to live to see Christ come to be fulfilled. They just had the promise, yet they were steadfast. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So I question this. So wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, being steadfast. So I would say by faith, now that you've received the promise, what's your story, Brian, Ed, Kathy, David, Michael, Steve, everybody here? What's your story? What is going to be your story when you stand before him? We will all give an account by faith. We had these examples. So now what is your story? What are you going to do? What are you doing that has eternal significance? Be steadfast till the end. We're going to close this out momentarily here. Not so fast. I want to read something from David Wilkerson. And we're talking about being steadfast. And he wrote in this book, and this is a prophetic book, that he said, "Thank God the Holy Spirit is raising up a holy people who are sick of all the self-centered ministries. And their cry is, we would see Jesus. The man-centered gospel cannot last much longer. A time of purging is ahead. We are heading into refining fires
while the covetous lounge on their beds of ease and comfort themselves with luxuries. A remnant will break away and go out seeking the bridegroom. Christ is going to reveal himself to the humble, the poor in spirit, and the true word of the Lord will flow forth with unction and power. Union with Christ will become the pearl of great price. And I remind you what we read last week in Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Have you found that pearl? Have you? You have. Because it's Christ. If you haven't, we need some work. We need to work on you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Think about what he just said about the remnant church. And in verse 1, we read together, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." What did we sing this song today? "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning." "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came," Christ came, "and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." Ho! Wow! The door was shut. And what happened? "Afterward came also the other virgins." These are the ones that went to buy after they missed it, "saying, 'Lord, open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" The key here is they were all virgins. They all had oil at one point, but the half of them did not have enough to see through to the end. They were not prepared to be steadfast to the end. They were okay. You think about what we learned about the seed. And then when the trials of the world came, it swept them away, right? You have to be steadfast, immovable in faith in Christ. Going back to this book, by the way, is "Set the Trumpet to Thy Mouth" by David Wilkerson. The overcoming remnant will hunger and thirst. And now think about yourself today when I read this. Think about yourself. Don't think about others, because we tend to compare ourselves to others and say, I'm doing pretty good compared to that person. No. We must examine ourselves individually. The overcoming remnant will hunger and thirst more and more in the final days before destruction. The Holy Spirit will create in Christ's bride an overwhelming desire for holiness, purity, and revelation. Here and there throughout the land, the deep hungerings and thirstings of the righteous can be seen. Radical separations from the world and all its idols and pleasures are taking place. The cry is for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Christ. Material things are losing their value to this bridehood. Their hearts are being wooed by the Spirit to a life of prayer and brokenness before the throne. Selfish desires, self-centered plans are being abandoned, and the perfect will of God is all that matters now. The man realm of success, ambition, and promotion has been dealt a death blow, and the glory of God has become supreme. There is the sound of adoration and worship and the enthroning of Christ and the yielding to his lordship. Sound the trumpet in Zion. God has a secured remnant washed in Christ's blood, clothed with spotless garments, separated unto the King of glory, with burning lamps held high, going out to meet the bridegroom in power of an endless life. Drink to full, saints of God. Drink of the fountain of everlasting life. What did we just read about the oil? Examine yourself. Examine your heart. Are you filled with that oil? Are your wicks trimmed? Because in Revelation 3, chapter 11, Jesus told the church of Philadelphia, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And as we close this out, 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Go ahead, Brian, you come over and play. This journey that we've gone over the last 6 weeks has been very important. I hope that you've received it in your heart and are committed to being steadfast till the end. That opening text again was, "The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." How many of you will commit today not to look behind any farther anymore, but to remain steadfast to the end? If that's you, stand up. Hallelujah. Now, I prayed about this morning. We are a body in Christ. And so what I'd like you to do, there's going to be very limited room, but I want everybody to come forth and stand up front. Gather in. It's okay. And what I want you to do is lock arms. One body, unified in Christ, an immovable object. Locked in arms. Satan has no room here. Amen. Let's pray. Just pray after me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we give up our will. We seek your will and your way. We surrender to your plans, Father. This day, I forget those things that are behind. I stand fast in our faith. And I press forward to the high calling of Christ Jesus. May I be steadfast till the end, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap. I love it. While we're here, I want to give out roses to the mommies. So, Jen, and what's up, buddy boy? You want to help? Okay, all right. You want to help? All right. Come on. Let's grab the pink ones. And mamas, if you would, thank you. Thanks, Shawnee. If the mamas would just kind of come forth by Deanna, my mom. Mothers. Yeah, you're a mother, are you not? There you go. Shirley. Rosie. Does every mom have a rose? We have extra, so we'll just pray that we keep filling this church up.
Amen. There is another parking spot out there.
That's right. Hallelujah. That's 2 weeks in a row. I just want to pray over mamas. So, men, if you would just raise your hands towards the women. Just, Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we are so blessed to have these women in our life. We thank you, Lord, for the things that they do that we cannot do as men. We thank you, Lord, for their tenderness and their love and their care. We thank you for their wisdom that they share with us. They are to be prized more than rubies. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless these women as they go out today and they celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.